About mid-January, you'll be back to L.A. Warmer weather, no doubt. Hope so, at least. We're going to come back in a moment with Linda Moulton Howe and continue with her incredible work. And then next hour, conversations with Linda. You whistleblowers check in with us or just questions for Linda. We'll do that next hour. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us. Linda, Elon Musk, of course, thinks that we are living in a simulated universe. We're not real.
Yes.
And you've been looking into this. This is strange stuff.
Yeah, he even said at that museum conference in April with the panel about are we living in a simulated universe, it was Elon Musk who said it was a billion to one odds against this being a naturally evolving universe.
Huh.
Yeah, and in 2007, at a conference in Phoenix, Arizona, I met Jerry and Kathy Wills for the first time. They had been leading research expeditions to the mysterious carved door that's in solid rock. It's a rock wall at Lake Titicaca. I have a great photograph of it at earthfiles.com. And the place for this big door in this rock wall is in southern Peru near the Bolivian border, and not very far from the lake on the southwestern side. Now, the local natives who speak the Aymara language call it Aramu Muru, which means the gateway of the gods. Local Peruvians just revere this site, and they say it is where life was first created on Earth. And the large carved doorway in that solid rock is said to lead to another dimension. Locals claim some people have disappeared and reappeared near that door. Many Peruvians are afraid even to approach that door. Some have said that they have seen strange, very tall men accompanied by glowing balls of light walk right out of the solid rock door onto the ground. And one of those tall men who disappeared in glowing light at the door in the Aramu Muru rock is Jerry Wills. And he's very tall, 6 feet, 9 inches.
Jeez.
The date of this event was November 11th, 1998, at 11 p.m. in the evening. Jerry and his wife were newlyweds. And Jerry was at the rock doorway because he had been trying to understand his strange life and strange places such as this site in Peru. He was born an orphan in 1953 and was left to die alone in a cold Kentucky farmhouse. But he was rescued and adopted by a Kentucky family who had a farm. In 1965, at age 12 and a half, on a cold fall day, he was stacking wood at sundown when a silver, blimp-shaped aerial vehicle appeared under a full moon that was glinting on that silver, and it was right above some tall pine trees. There were large, pale lights that pulsed one after the other around this UFO, going in one direction and then reversing in a slow, steady pulse back and forth. There was no wind, but the tops of those pine trees whipped back and forth as if the silver UFO was emitting some kind of energy. In his mind, Jerry Wills heard a telepathic thought voice from whoever was in that silver craft that said these unseen visitors would return to meet Jerry again in the future. It was a year later, in July 1966, and Jerry was face-to-face with a tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, extraterrestrial man named Zoe, Z-O. Zoe said he was from a humanoid civilization on a planet orbiting the star Tau Ceti, about 12 light-years from Earth. There were several face-to-face meetings over a five-year period, and a trip aboard a silver spacecraft in which Zoe controlled the craft with hand-imprinted panels directed by his mind. We've all heard about that from Roswell crashes. and Zoe was like a teacher to Jerry. One of Zoe's teaching tools was a 4-foot by 4-foot black cube, and it was holographically projecting the Milky Way galaxy and other parts of the universe, showing different stars in different colors. As Zoe pointed out star systems, he telepathically told Jerry Wills that people on Earth did not originate on this planet, that humanoids were all over the universe and beyond in other dimensions. Another teacher in Jerry's life was a Peruvian shaman named Pedro, who told Jerry about the doorway of Aramumuru at Lake Titicaca. And Pedro said that the doorway was a two-way passage between worlds and dimensions, and that he had seen what he called ancient ones come through that doorway, and that he saw them kneel in front of the door and start singing with their forehead against the rock door and then suddenly disappear. Listening to Pedro, Jerry wanted so much to see and find out for himself, and by November 1998, right after his marriage to Kathy, the couple traveled to Peru and to the big rock Aramumuru doorway. And there, Pedro taught Jerry Wills how to make three different tones that were to be kept secret. But if Jerry could produce the tones correctly, he would go through the big rock doorway to where the ancient ones came from. Here now is Jerry Wills from Phoenix, Arizona, who described for me what happened on November 11th, 1998, as he kneeled down before that rock doorway and began to mimic the tones that Pedro had taught him.
You're kneeling there in the doorway and put your forehead on it. It'll be very hard to breathe. Your eyes are closed. You're going to feel like you're falling. That third tone, you have to do this over and over until you get it just right. But suddenly, that feeling of falling, you really are falling. You're somewhere else altogether.
Explain it.
When I kept falling and I opened my eyes, I was just falling through this darkness, and I was absolutely freaked out. There were stars and nebula, and I guess they were stars. There was pinpoints of light, some larger, some smaller. Things racing past me with streamers. It was like looking at images in the Hubble telescope. It was like I was in a bubble. I could look all around. I was just floating in this bubble. There wasn't a sense of gravity. There wasn't a sense of me moving, except everything around me was moving. So I'm thinking, this is pretty wild. And then it felt as though I was moving through something. I could sense that there was an impedance there. I squeezed my eyes closed because it was just so much pressure. It was hard to breathe again. And then suddenly, I find myself on this floor. I guess it's a floor, but it was just a big white. Everything was white. You couldn't tell if there was a wall to the floor, to the ceiling, nothing. There wasn't any curvature. There wasn't any distinguishing aspect. Everything was equally luminous. Stood up. Tried to get my bearings, and there was nothing to see. It was just like in a big white cloud. Well, this was a point of confusion and some anxiety, because this wasn't like anything I'd ever heard of a hallucination being like. I could stomp the floor and feel it in my foot. It felt like plastic, didn't feel like concrete or metal, very dense, thick. The closest thing I can say it was like was Lexan, perhaps. I decided to try to see if there were any acoustic properties. So I started whistling, high notes, low notes. It just was dead acoustically. So then I started hollering. You know, is anybody here? Where am I? Hello? And I still wasn't walking. I wasn't moving. Figured the best thing I could do is stay where I'm at. And it was just about second time that I hollered, that there was this voice, and it was like it was coming over an intercom. You know, when you think back in school and they make an announcement on the intercom, it's kind of a high-pitched kind of sound. It lacks the characterization of normal human voice. It isn't a full spectrum of sound. It's just a narrow bandwidth of sound. Anyway, this person's voice came on. It was a man. And he sounded a little surprised. So I asked him, where am I? And he says, who are you? And so I said, well, I'm Jerry Wells. Where are you from? I said, well, I was at the doorway at Arumamuru. He says, I don't know what that is. I said, it's on the planet Earth in the southern hemisphere. And he says, oh, Earth. All right. I asked him what this place was. Where am I? Is this real? Am I really experiencing this? And he laughs, so it's very real. I understand your confusion. He said that I was on another world, that it was outside of my universe. So I wanted to understand how that's possible. And he says, well, there are many universes, and you have just passed from yours into ours. All right, so where is this universe? He said, it wouldn't do me any good to even try to explain it to you. I asked him how I'd gotten there. Well, apparently, these folks, whoever they are, had been very curious about the nature of the universe. In order to understand their universe, they tried to recreate, using what they knew, to recreate a model of the universe. But what had happened is that when they had recreated this, their creation had started to evolve. It had evolved up to a point to where it stopped growing. It was quite large. And that they had created another universe inadvertently. They weren't planning on doing this. And it had evolved. And it evolved quite rapidly. And I said, well, I don't understand this because we think the universe is billions and billions of years old. He says, well, where you are, you measure time much differently. Time is different in every universe. We've watched for the past, and he was struggling with terms that didn't make any sense to me. For him, it had been, let's say, a few decades. But within that universe that I had just come from, it was billions of years. Time was remarkably different for me than it was for him. And so then I started thinking, how long have I been here? Because Kathy was like 11:20, 11:30 at night at Lake Titicaca. The breeze is blowing. It's 13,000 feet elevation. It's just cold as hell. And I started thinking, oh my gosh, it could be decades past by the time I get home. I didn't have any idea how long I'd been gone. My watch was just dead. It was one of those Timex that had the gizmo on there for altitude and temperature and barometer and all that. It was new, but it just was dead. I started getting a bit frantic with him and telling him, how do I get back home? He says, well, you should be able to get back home the same way you got here. And I said, I don't think that you have a doorway here. I don't see anything. It's just all white. And he says, well, it's just all white because of the chamber that you're in. And he says, we can help you get back home. Don't be afraid. I said, all right, then what do I need to do? Because I really need to go right now. And I explained to him, Kathy is there waiting. And if I'm really gone, then she's going to be really afraid. And the other people that were with me are going to be equally worried. He says, all right, turn to your right. Now just start walking forward in a straight line. And I started walking forward. And it's like I went past a wall. As I came around, he says, all right, you see that in the distance, probably 100 feet from me. He says, just walk towards that. It was this large, black, gelatinous-looking thing just floating in the air. It was black, but you could see all these pinpoints of light. It was peppered with light and dark areas. I said, what is this? And he said, that's the universe you came from. Well, this thing, it had these rods that were luminous, like neon. There was little beads of light moving through them, kind of like fluorescent bulb, you know, overhead fluorescent that gets bad and has like little dark areas moving through it, except the dark areas were a different color. Some were yellow.
I'm holding in my hand the illustration that you emailed to me, and my first reaction was, you are the figure in the foreground.
Right, about 100 feet away from that thing.
Did you get telepathic communication from the male voice about what the rods are doing with this gelatinous cosmic mass?
Well, the rods weren't through it. They were around its perimeter. Didn't even look like they were connected to anything. They didn't seem to have any reason to be placed the way they were placed. It was very abstract. I said, these light rods, what's that? And he says, well, that holds it in place. It maintains the balance. And we think that's the reason why it stopped evolving.
So did they deliberately try to stop the evolution of this universe?
I think so. And when he was telling me about this, they were really very afraid that it was going to continue growing and it would just overwhelm them, and then what would happen to them? It was quite a conundrum, the way he described it.
So they're in another universe, and they created in this other universe a laboratory universe to test or learn something. And then their laboratory test universe took off somehow and created the universe that you and I and everything in our universe is?
He had told me that they were trying to understand their place within their universe. And that what they had discovered is that they were inside of someone else's universe, just like we were inside of theirs. He says it's just layers and layers, and there's very little that separates one from the other. And that's what they had learned.
This 13.9 billion light year universe, from our point of view, is inside of the voice in the all white room universe. And that universe is in another universe. It's like you're describing those Russian dolls that all fit inside of each other.
That's what Kathy was saying, too. It's just like Russian dolls. I said, what kind of machine would you use to do this? He tried to explain it. The closest thing that I can explain was what we call the Large Hadron Collider, a big thing over in Europe.
And that LHC had a big headline in October 2015, a year ago, quote, could scientists soon discover a parallel universe? New data from the extra-powerful Large Hadron Collider is being analyzed, close quote. The Daily Mail went on, the experiment may alarm critics who fear the LHC could bring about the end of the world. But scientists say the groundbreaking experiment could transform our understanding of the universe. One of the scientists said, what we mean by parallel universes is real universes in extra dimensions. Just as many parallel sheets of paper, which are two-dimensional objects, can exist in a third dimension, like our world. Parallel universes can also exist in higher dimensions. We predict that gravity can leak into extra dimensions, and if it does, then miniature black holes can be produced at the LHC. And they have not found them yet, and they think that now has to do with space and time curve differences, where atomic particles are going at higher energies than other places, and that the mystery between parallel universes, other dimensions, time dilation, we will pick this up in the next half hour, continuing with Jerry Wills.
Absolutely. Another amazing story, Linda. How you find them. Unbelievable. Linda Moulton Howe with us. Website, earthfiles.com. She takes emails, too. At earthfiles@earthfiles.com. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be right back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us. And don't forget, next hour, Conversations with Linda. So stick around and make the phone call. Okay, she continues now with this really strange, strange story of the universe and what it really may be. Go ahead, Linda.
Thanks, George. Well, Jerry Wills was trying to understand what the other universe's intelligence was explaining about the laboratory experiment to create another universe that produced a spark that kept growing. Jerry thought the closest analogy would be the atomic and subatomic particle research that we humans are doing at the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, Switzerland, that was first turned on in September 2008. Here, Jerry continues from Phoenix, Arizona.
This voice, he was talking about how they were colliding particles, and somehow a spark had occurred, and this spark didn't go away. Instead, it started growing, and as it grew, it started accumulating and creating more of itself on its own. He says, think of it maybe as a white hole. Think of it as a place where all of creation manifests itself within these torrents of energy that are moving both inward and outward simultaneously. It was a really difficult thing to try and understand.
And it sounds like he's trying to describe that they were working in a laboratory like a collider, and that when the spark began to emerge and kept growing, that they somehow had provoked another universe to come through a black hole on that side through a white hole where they were that was now expanding, and they had no control over it.
He said it was a spark of life, and all these things were being created from that.
Well, we talk about a singularity in this universe, the beginning of heat and light from nothing. If there are white holes that are the explosion of matter coming from black holes on the other side of an electromagnetic membrane between universes.
It really matches very closely to what he was saying that they accidentally triggered in their experiments.
If they were trying to experiment in a lab in another universe, trying to create the conditions in which universes come into being and evolve to settle something that they were trying to explore, then they would have to have set up conditions that would have set the rules in whatever universe they were trying to create to test. And it might explain why this universe is like on the edge of a razor blade in terms of the conditions that favor life as opposed to no life.
They had learned that life had started to populate throughout that universe.
That they had made.
Yeah, they were fascinated by this. Curious as can be how this was possible. And this doorway that I had gone through was something that they had put in place. They had these doorways throughout our universe in various places. They had been sending scientists in there to study the universe because this was a whole new realm of science for them to explore. And when they started discovering life in there, well, they were pretty shocked. Apparently, I'm not the only person who'd ever come through that doorway, but the other people that had gone through the doorway had died of shock, I guess.
And you didn't die because maybe you're not Homo sapiens sapien?
I think I didn't die because I didn't get all that completely freaked out by it. I was up to a point, but when I didn't really think it was real, then I just relaxed and went with it.
The shaman, Pedro, in Peru, who had described seeing, I think you said, tall beings coming out of that door?
Well, they looked like they were the ancient ones. Tall, dressed in period clothing for, say, the Incas or whoever it was. But people that he took as being from that ancient time who were coming through the doorway to check out their land. And apparently these doorways go to other places on this planet as well as to other planets. So maybe these folks that were coming through had figured out how to direct their travels. According to this voice I was talking to, there is a way to direct where you're going, but my only concern at that point was, how do I get back?
Okay, is it possible that the beings that Pedro was referring to as a shaman would be the intelligence in this other universe in which we're nested? The other universe would come through to test their laboratory experiment, creating this universe that surprised them because it was evolving with life in it. anything that was seen emerging from that doorway that you went through would be from the experimenters in the other universe that encompasses us.
I think that that's very possible because, as I mentioned, time is much different there than it is here, and they might have been through and thinking that the Inca or whoever would have succeeded them were dressed in a certain way the last time they were through. So the next time they go through, they dress like that. They're royalty. They can walk around wherever they want to go, and no one's going to give them any grief.
But they're not royalty. They're actually scientists from another universe.
Yeah, exactly. That voice that I was talking to was telling me that part of their interest was that when they looked outward, things just expanded out and out and out, but there were things that were identical out there as there were the deeper and deeper they looked into the smallest things, that it was always the same. It's the same if it was an atom versus a galaxy. They were trying to understand their place in the universe. What they didn't expect was to find that there was a universe that they were within and that there was a universe that they surrounded. It was quite an astonishing thing to have discovered for them.
If they discovered that they were inside of another universe and that they had made a universe that they surrounded, then maybe even an infinite number of universes nest within each other.
I think that's what the implication is, that there isn't an upper or lower limit.
And what is the relationship now between their universe and this one?
Oh, I haven't a clue. I could not understand his definition of time. He told me how to get back. He told me to walk towards this thing. And he says, you're going to lift off of your feet. Don't be afraid. Close your eyes. He says, I want you to focus on your wife. So I started walking towards it. I said goodbye to him. And then I started running towards it. It's weird when you're running and you're not touching the floor. You're not really moving. But you're floating towards this thing. And this hissing started. So I took a deep breath, like he suggested, closed my eyes, kind of gritted my teeth, tensed up, and it felt like I moved through a membrane, some resistance or impedance. I opened my eyes, I'm looking around, I can breathe just fine. I kept focused on Kathy. And eventually I saw I was heading towards a bead of light that was getting brighter, closer. I guess it was our sun. It wasn't like I went past planets, but there was this moment when I noticed that I was moving towards the dark side of the Earth, from the North Pole. I was moving so fast that I thought I was going to die. So I closed my eyes, the hissing got a little louder, and then, just like before, there was nothing, just silence. And I opened my eyes, and I'm kind of crumpled up, sitting on this rock floor, and I look around, and there's the opening for the doorway right in front of me. I'm getting out of here. I hit that doorway full on, and it was solid. It was like I was looking through glass. Well, that didn't make sense. There is no glass there. Now I'm getting really anxious about this. I can see Kathy out there. She's holding her face in her hands and making gestures. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm feeling all around it, trying to find an edge, a crack, something. Finally, I got the presence of mind to feel for that little notch that you put your forehead into. And I found it. So I got on my knees, put my forehead in there, and I started making those tones again. And the air was very thin. It was hard to breathe. I kept making the tones over and over and over again. Finally, I must have hit it just right because I just passed right through it. I backed away from the doorway as fast as I could and fell down onto the ground, laying on my back, looking up at the stars. And Kathy goes, you're back. Oh, my God. I said, let's get the hell out of here. Something very strange happened. I know you glowed and you were gone. Now she's saying that I vanished. She said it looked like Star Trek, that I just sort of glowed and faded out. And I said, well, how long was I gone? She says, well, you're only gone a couple minutes. And I said, no way that could be possible. She says, well, what happened? I said, I'll tell you when we get back to the room.
How could it have ended up being only 2 or 3 minutes in Earth time if it seemed hours to you in his universe?
Yeah, I know. The only thing that I can figure is that the means of moving from one point to another was outside the dynamic of time altogether. That these doorways are instantaneous passageways to other places. You know, you can be somewhere for a while, go back through it, and arrive just shortly after you left.
Which is saying that there is time travel through these doorways that the other universe created in order to study this universe.
When it comes to moving through these things, I don't know how time works. You know, it was the same situation when I was talking with Zoe. He was telling me that they could go from where they are to here, and that it would be almost instantaneous. There really wasn't any time during the time of travel. Time stopped, and then it restarted once you arrived.
What are you left with now, the end of 2016, as a residue of that idea that we are in a simulated universe created by someone else?
What it's left me with is a sense of awe. The thing that I find to be most remarkable is that at least between this universe and that one, there are beings who are aware of themselves and aware of their surroundings. But it is that spark of life that joins us, no matter what universe we're in. I know there's life out there among those stars. Somehow there's a veil. Somehow there's this barrier, this thing that I passed through twice. So this commonality of life, I find that to be awe-inspiring. No matter where you go, there's a spark of intelligence and a spark of life out there. And it can be quite good.
What a strange story, Linda.
Well,
wow.
I've known Jerry for a long time. He is a solid, credible guy. And I have no doubt, and Kathy doesn't either, she was there. She saw him. We've talked about it. She saw him glow and fade out. You think of Star Trek. Think of that transporter and how the transporter, the person would be standing there, and then they start dissembling in and kind of glow, and then they're gone, and then they're on a planet or wherever it is that they're going in Star Trek. She said it was very much like that, watching her own husband disappear from in front of that rock door. And so I think this has happened, and I think that the locals have seen this repeated in previous centuries, the same thing. And all we can do is open our minds and think about what Jerry Wills has described as his experience and say, what if we are a universe nested inside of another universe, nested inside of another universe, and that it may explain dark matter, dark energy, these rivers of galaxies that are moving mysteriously toward one spot in our universe. There are all kinds of mysteries, and it is this time dilation. Kathy thought it was 2 minutes. Jerry thought it could have been hours and hours, days. The man in the room was trying to explain to him the differences in time. And it reminded me of a 1923 Punch magazine in England poem that was written around the time that Einstein was becoming famous for E equals mc² and his theory of relativity. And the 1923 little poem dedicated basically to Einstein's theory goes this way. There was a young lady named Bright whose speed was far faster than light. She set out one day in a relative way and returned on the previous night. And that would explain how Jerry could have the sense that he was gone for hours and days, and Kathy on Earth said it was 2 minutes. That is the time dilation issue having to do with particle speed, gravity, all kinds of complexities, and that even this does not make this lack credibility. It actually, Jerry's description, Kathy's description, increases the credibility because they're not trying to create an answer. They're describing what they experienced, what they saw. And I have in front of me also that before the Large Hadron Collider, this research of a possible small mini black holes that might indicate a parallel universe, that there have been many other different speculations, including, is this a holographic universe, which is sort of the same idea.
Yeah, it
is. A simulated universe in some way. Well, one of the most interesting things that I have learned in about the human abduction syndrome came from Bud Hopkins back in the early 1990s when we were flying back from a conference together. And I think I've mentioned this on a previous coast, but it's worth mentioning here again because it's so important. And Bud told me then that Michael Talbot's new book that came out in 1991, and the book had just come out, so the year that we were flying would have been that year, 1991, and it was called The Holographic Universe. And Bud told me, he said, I don't want to talk about this publicly yet, but Michael Talbot told me that the entire book is a telepathic download from the extraterrestrials he is dealing with. So this 1991 book, anybody can get it from Amazon.com, The Holographic Universe. This would be the teaching to Michael Talbot, like the teaching to Jerry Wills from the Zoe and the Pedro and the various people that he has had really profound discussions with and has had high strangeness in his whole life. And 2 years ago, in the August 2014 issue of Scientific American, the featured cover article, and I have this beautiful photograph of the cover in my earthfiles.com news tonight. This is the question that is raised in this article in Scientific American. Quote, is the Big Bang and all that came from it a holographic mirage from another dimension, close quote, and goes into saying that specifically our entire universe, in their hypothesis, came into being during a stellar implosion in a supra-universe that created a three-dimensional shell around a four-dimensional black hole, and our universe is the shell around the black hole.
Isn't that amazing? And that might explain why nobody can really explain the Big Bang.
Well, exactly. It's a singularity and a spark. Could that stellar implosion be the spark of light that the other universe voice told Jerry Wills surprised them in their experimentation with creating a laboratory-controlled universe, and that spark kept growing beyond the experiment?
You know, some people may say, well, what about time? You know, I'm 60 years old, I'm 50 years old, and look at all the time that has gone by. How could a made-up universe exist so long? I think I would answer that, Linda, by saying that time is relative and it's not really anything. It could be 10 minutes of time.
And Jerry Wills was told by the extraterrestrial that he is convinced is from another solar system, and the being said he was from Tau Ceti, 12 light years, that we don't understand time on this planet, and that this has come up in other abduction cases, that when they travel, they are traveling outside of time, which would mean to me they're somehow traveling close to the speed of light or moving in a way we don't understand, that time, the ticking clock, doesn't start again until they've landed on somebody.
We're coming back in just a moment with Linda Moulton Howe. The final hour, we call it Conversations with Linda. That gives you an opportunity to talk with her, maybe even break a story with her. We'll be back.